Hey, happy Sunday. It's Dasein, the philosopher, author of Dasein's Journal, a collection of philosophical thought, and How to Never Be Broke Again, a work of pragmatic capitalist philosophy. So on today's podcast, we'll actually be exploring the 10 rules that I present in How to Never Be Broke Again, so you guys can have a little bit more content and information and financial education so that you can move towards reaching financial security. So before I get started on the 10 rules of how to never be broke again, I'd just like to talk about why I wrote the book. Basically, at 17, I kind of realized that no one really taught me about finances as a kid and how to basically reach financial security. And I basically wanted to make sure that not only was I never broke ever again, but I wanted to make sure I can set it up so that my family would never be broke ever again. And when I was writing this book at 5 years later, essentially, I was kind of preparing for my teaching practicum, which here in my university, or I guess my previous university since I'm graduated now, was that the teaching practicum consisted of a whole year of working about 50 hours a week in school, teaching, again, for free. Well, basically, I'm paying to work, as well as having to complete my university assignments. And I knew that if I was broke during this time of not being able to work for money, I would not be able to teach at my best of my capabilities. Meaning that if I'm not able to eat properly or rest properly or have to worry about money, I can't concentrate on teaching and I won't be able to do the best job of educating my students. So I want to make sure that even if I was working over 50 hours a week for free, I still had income coming in and that I wasn't broke ever again. So yeah, today's podcast, we'll be looking at the 10 rules that I've been using for the past over 5 years now on how to never be broke again. And hopefully you guys can get some insight and maybe improve your financial education today. So the first rule in my book, How to Never Be Broke Again, is broke is a mindset. Don't ever have that mindset. Essentially, this comes from the inspiration of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, where Robert Kiyosaki states that whenever you find yourself wanting something, you don't ever want to just say that you can't afford it. You always want to ask yourself, how do I afford it? This is because if you say that you can't afford something, then it's done. You have that problem and you're not finding the solution. But if you ask yourself, how do I afford something, then essentially what you're doing is you're trying to actively solve the problem. And if you can solve your problem and find solutions to these things, that's where you can get your financial education and then basically improve your ability to troubleshoot. So you never ever want to have a broke mindset just because you always want to be improving the skill of improving your finances, basically. And essentially it is a skill and you can improve it. But if you admit that you're broke and you just leave it at that, then you're not improving your skills. So again, an example of this was in 2015, I actually invested all my money except $30, and I told myself, if I don't find a way to make more money this week, I'm not going to be able to eat during the weekend. Another example was in 2016, I went down to Montreal without a dollar for a place to stay, and I didn't have a way back home, and it was about an hour and a half drive back to my city of Trois-Rivières. And I gave myself 48 hours to enjoy Montreal, but also while figuring out a way to get back home before having to teach class on Monday. Again, I put myself in situations where my back was against the wall, and any other person would just say, would have just said that, oh, I'm broke, I'm gonna give up, it's not worth it. But by putting myself in a situation where I had to find solutions, I didn't have a choice to be broke. I had to figure out a way to get whatever results I wanted, to either get back home or to either make more money that week. So that, again, if you're put in a position where not being broke is part of survival, you don't have a choice. And again, I always looked at this more as being family oriented. If I can't handle myself and if I'm broke, then how am I supposed to raise a family?
first rule is broke is a mindset, and I don't want you to ever have that mindset.
So the second rule of how to never be broke again is always pay yourself first. Basically, you want to make sure you're working for yourself, or again, since I'm very family-oriented, working for your family. A lot of things that tend to happen with most people is that they'll get paid, they'll pay bills, and then maybe they'll save. Or maybe they'll invest. Usually, probably not even. But the issue with this is that you're basically working, and then before you even pay yourself first, you're paying other entities, other businesses, other people. Basically, you're working for other people. This gets worse if you're in debt, because basically you're working for the bank or whatever financial institution you're indebted to. So again, the rule is always pay yourself first, which means that the moment you get paid, whether that be through profit or whether that be through a paycheck, is that you pay yourself first in assets. So you can get some assets that include stocks, paper assets, mutual funds, real estate properties that make you monthly income, commodities like gold, silver, oil, or even building your own side business. Reason you want to pay yourself first is that eventually these things are going to pay you. Another way to look at this is you're paying your future self first. You're working now and solving future problems that will come on later. Again, I kind of want you to have better problems. This rule of always paying yourself first is going to move you from not having enough money problems to having too much money problems. And a lot of people laugh saying that, oh, having too much money is not a problem. But it kind of is, because you got to deal with things such as how do you protect your money? How do you make sure your money is working for you? How do you, I mean, later on, once you have kids, a big issue with people who have too much money is they have to raise spoiled kids. How do you raise kids that are still grateful and know how to work hard when basically their family's already financially free? In other words, how do you teach necessity to kids? Again, that's a problem that I see that me and my future wife will have to deal with. But when that time comes, or before that time comes, I'm already trying to think of solutions to that and maybe test it out before having to deal with that problem. So again, with this rule of always paying yourself first, one of the key things here is that you need a budget. You need to know how much you make and how much you spend and how much extra cash flow you basically have so that you can pay yourself. If you are making less than what you spend and you can't even pay yourself first, you're paying other entities, other businesses before anyone else, before yourself or your future self. So the third rule in my book, How to Never Be Broke Again, is don't work for money. Have your money work for you. Basically, money is like an employee that's really good at hiring other employees. So this means that if you are working for money, you can only work a maximum of 24 hours a day. And if you do that, you'll probably die. It means you're limited to time. But if you have your money working for you, that means once your money is in a safe, secure place, such as in an income-producing asset, each month or each year, this asset will pay you. So basically, you put money in, your money works for you, kicks you back money. You can actually reach, this is actually how you reach financial security, is that you have enough assets to pay for all your expenses month to month. That means your money is working for you enough so that it's paying off all your expenses. Therefore, you don't have to work anymore. But again, you don't have to work for money anymore. The key thing here is that you want to be working for knowledge or education or experiences. You don't want to be working for money. You want your money working for you. The reason I say you want to be working for experiences or knowledge or basically improving or solving problems is that if you're only working for money and then you solve that money problem, what are you going to do for the rest of your time? This is another one of those too much money problems, is that I always link this back to myself, is that I enjoy teaching and I don't teach for the money. I teach because, again, it's my passion. However, I live in a capitalist society and this money problem must be solved. One of my goals is to be able to teach for free, basically, maybe in a struggling country or I don't know, even back in Philippines, but it would be nice to give back like that and not have to worry about money. So again, how do we do this practically? Because again, my book is a work of pragmatic capitalist philosophy. So how do you get your money to work for you? Basically, this is where investing comes in. And investing does require a certain level of financial education, but it also requires you actually doing it. Meaning that you actually need to go out there and find out what are the sources of income producing assets and which ones you like, which ones you think will work for you, and then basically work for them. Get those income producing assets so that your money is working for you and you aren't working for money. So I'll give you guys a little bit of bonus on how I personally didn't work for money and I got myself to a point where money worked for me. I'll tell a little bit of story on how I got started investing in dividend paying stocks. Again, this is not investment advice. And if you want to learn more about this, I suggest you do your due diligence and that you should seek the help of a financial professional. But essentially what I did was put my money in companies that paid a monthly dividend. So for the ones that don't know, a dividend is basically a sort of check or a payment that a company will pay you just for investing in them. And I found companies that paid a decent amount in percentage, about 8, 9, 10, even 13% in dividends annually. And then they paid out these dividends month to month. In the beginning, I was only getting about, a couple dollars every month, which isn't much, but it was a start. Later on, when I had moved out and lived in Quebec for a year, I actually remember getting paid by one of the companies I invested in, and they actually paid for my lunch that day, which, again, is not too much, but again, it's nice. I mean, I didn't have to work for this lunch. This company paid for my lunch for me. Now I get a little bit more dividends, but I also have other sources of income, which we'll see in the next rule of how to never be broke again. But essentially, I invested money into stocks, dividend paying stocks, so that each month, once I put my money in, it would pay me more money. There's actually these things called dividend reinvestment plans. So once you have a big enough investment, instead of paying a dividend in cash, you actually get paid a dividend, and then they use that cash to buy you more units or more shares of that stock, meaning that each month, instead of getting more cash, you're getting more units that pay you more cash, meaning you can get more units, and the more units you get, the more units you can get, the more units you can get, and it becomes an endless cycle, which again, you can turn off and then whenever you decide and start accepting the cash instead of accepting the units or the shares of the stock. So that's one of the ways that I got started in not working for money and having my money work for me. So the fourth rule in my book, How to Never Be Broke Again, is create multiple sources of an income, aka side hustles. Basically, the hustle starts after work. I work a 9-to-5. I teach full-time now. I love what I do, but after work, once everything is done, that's where I start to work on my businesses and my investments and basically increasing my financial education. So what you guys need to know is that there are basically 7 different types of income. There is earned income, that's money that you go to work for and you get paid for. It's taxed the highest. You trade time for money. There's also profit income. So that's income from buying and selling things, having a business. Basically, you can have a garage sale, you can sell stuff on Amazon, start your own side business, whatever it is. If you have something, you have a service, product, someone out there wants it, find them, you sell. Another one is interest income. This is income from lending money. Basically, if you have extra money laying around that you don't need right away, you can lend it out to a trusted individual or business that can give you a decent return on investment or an ROI. You give them money, they pay you back, whether annually, biweekly, monthly, whatever it is, whatever your terms are, and you get interest on it. Credit cards are using this against you. You can actually use interest income to make you money. Another one I talked about earlier in my bonus section, that there is dividend income. So this is income from owning dividend paying stocks. You can invest in a publicly traded company, which will kick you back a check once a month, every quarter, or once a year. And you can have literally your favorite company, like McDonald's. I don't know if you guys like McDonald's. They'll pay you for having a piece of their corporate entity, essentially. Another one is rental income. This is the only income that I don't have yet, but I'm working on it, and it's where most of my financial education is moving towards. So you can own a property, you can rent it out, and then the person using that space pays you or helps pay off your mortgage. Basically, you're creating rent, and you're creating a rent check for yourself. Next one is capital gains. This is income from assets increasing in value. So you can buy some gold, some silver, maybe a beautiful piece of art. You wait a couple years, a couple months, whatever it is. Maybe your investment is worth more today than it was when you first bought it. So when you sell it, you get capital gains. Another one is royalty income. This is income from your ideas. The only way I know of creating this income stream is by creating content like a program or a class or a book and having people pay for it or pay for the system for creating it. Think of royalties as getting paid for a book. Every time someone buys a book, I get a little piece of the book, essentially, what they pay for. So those are your different sources of income. And again, the rule is have multiple sources of income. The fifth rule in my book, How to Never Be Broke Again, is give before you receive. Basically, the best way to make more is to help more. This is where we're going to get a little less strategic and a little bit more philosophical, just because, again, this idea of giving before you receive is basically to breed the rich mindset, stay away from the broke mindset, and reinforce a mindset of abundance, meaning I have too much, I might as well give back to other people and help other people. Maybe for some of you folks that aren't in a place where they want to be financially and that they don't have enough to give like a monetary amount, you could always give time. I always believe that, and I've always been taught that time is our most important asset, just because money is infinite, basically, but time is not. Time is finite. You can run out of time. If you run out of money, you can just go ahead and work more, make more. It's not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal anyway, but again, this is why I'm trying to breed that mindset of abundance. Basically, with this idea of giving first, the wealthy have this habit of always giving to charity. A lot of people think that the wealthy are very stingy with money, but from my personal experiences and the people I've met, the wealthy are actually the most generous. They're the ones giving to charities month to month. But what most people don't know as well is that there are actually tax benefits to these donations, and you can literally make money for donating to your favorite charity. Again, it goes both. It breeds the idea of abundance, of you having more than enough. Therefore, you can help other people out because you have your own life handled. But again, there's also a tax benefit side and how these taxes basically work. And we'll see that in the next rule. Is that you're always incentivized to know the tax law. So again, in my book, I always give calls to action at the end of each chapter, which is something that you can actually do to help you integrate these mindsets, integrate these rules on how to never be broke again. So this one, for this chapter and this rule of giving before you receive, the call to action is that you got to start giving at least once a week. This can be in the form of offering money to a charity, to random homeless people, or even to people you know by paying for their meal or movie. If you don't have the money, you can also give your time, which in my opinion, like I mentioned, time is worth way more than money. You can volunteer, help other people out with their goals. It'll actually make you feel good when you give, but also solidify that you're in abundance. Also, this is also a business idea. If you can help other people get what they want, most likely they'll return the favor and help you get what you want and what you want for your family if you are family oriented. Next rule on how to never be broke again is know your tax law. It is your right to learn the rules of the tax game. Basically, by studying tax law, it'll be one of the best investments you can make, because once you know the rules of taxes, you'll start looking at your income in a different perspective. You'll start thinking of net profit instead of net income, and you'll you want to find legal ways to increase your tax return and legal ways to reduce your taxes. one of the ideas here is that as an employee, one of the best tax laws you can start learning about is regarding your RRSP contribution room, spells of RRSPs, and your own tax bracket. So did you know that if you contribute to your RRSP limit here in Canada, you are proactively moving towards a better tax return? Also, if you have a higher income than your husband or wife and you contribute to your spouse's RRSP, you can actually decrease the taxes he or she would have to pay at the end of the fiscal year, and this will possibly increase his or her tax return. Another rule that seems a little morbid, but I learned this with my training as an insurance agent. In my previous chapters, you want to work. Don't work for money, but you want your money working for you. One of the ways I did this is I worked for free as an insurance agent to get my training and get licensed so that I can learn more about finances. Basically, I was working for the education, not the money. The money came after. It was nice. It was worth it. But the amount of education and financial education that I got doing that for free and learning basically about the insurance industry is a lot more beneficial than the money that came. The money was nice though. So again, another rule that seems a little bit morbid, let's go back, is that once you or your spouse passes away, the deceased can contribute to the living spouse's RRSP, thus making it a spousal RRSP contribution until March 1st of the following year. This after death rule combined with proper insurance can be very beneficial to leaving behind a legacy for one's family after death. Also, another one, if you own your own business or work independent contracts, there's a bunch of tax rules basically giving you more tax advantages so that you're paying less tax and getting a better return. Here in Canada, you can write off up to 50% of your business income using business meal expenses. And as a millennial myself, I know how much us millennials love to eat out. Basically, anytime I eat out, I'm always trying to make it a business meal, which is easy because the things I love to do are the things I build my businesses around. I'm going to talk about it anyway, especially if I go out with my girlfriend. She's very supportive, and basically she's one of the few people that I can talk about business all the time, essentially. So yeah, going back, basically you want to start learning and studying tax law in your city or country today. You should find out how much taxes you actually pay each paycheck when you work at your job and understand the breakdown of your finances. If you work a job or if you have a business, you want to understand that breakdown as well. How much are you going to pay in tax? Because as a business, you pay taxes at the end of the year. You actually also want to find out all your taxable expenses that you're eligible for. So even if it may not be tax season right now, tax season just ended this year here in Canada, but you got a couple more months of research towards tax law that you can pay that will pay you more because you'll be able to keep more money at the end of the fiscal year. Again, you want to surround yourself with professionals in the financial industry and make sure that they actually know what you're talking about. So the more you increase your financial education, the more you'll be better at determining, okay, is this financial professional in front of me? Maybe this accountant, do they actually know what they're doing? Again, by surrounding yourself with financial professionals, you'll be able to learn more about the tax law. This means surrounding yourself with accountants, CPAs, tax attorneys, because these people are actually libraries of knowledge, and they'll tell you things that you would have never been able to find out, let alone figure out on your own. I mean, maybe if you're smart and you have a super high IQ, you probably can. But again, it's time. So you want to be able to leverage these professionals' knowledge and expertise so that you can learn more about the tax law. And then you can basically use it to your advantage. Basically, the tax law is created to incentivize people knowing these tax laws. The more you know them, the more you know the rules, the more you can play the rules of the game, and the more you can basically use them to your advantage. Because if you don't, these tax laws are basically working against you. And you don't want that. You want them working for you. So again, this rule that we explored just now is know your tax law if you want to make sure you're never broke ever again. Okay, we're nearing the end. So in my book, How to Never Be Broke Again, the 8th rule is move towards a net worth paradigm. You want to keep more money that will work for you. Basically, the next change you got to make in order to never be broke again, it might be the hardest because it involves changing your paradigm. So for the ones that don't know, a paradigm is the way that an individual or a society views the world. In other words, you have to change how you see the world, or in this case, how you view money. So today, when it comes to how money works, most people are conditioned to having an income paradigm. Basically, they're just trying to make more money, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll keep more money. A lot of things that happen is once you start making more money, you start spending more, and it ends up just going away. Think about folks that win the lottery. They'll get a huge chunk of money with no proper guidance or financial education, and they'll blow through that money like there's no tomorrow. And it's pretty surprising how people can blow through millions of dollars in like a couple months, which is, I find that mind-boggling. But again, it's all linked to financial education. You got to learn how to handle money so that it doesn't ruin you and it doesn't put you in a worse off situation. Money is just a tool. It's not good or bad, but like any tools, it can be used for good or bad. You want to make sure you're using it for good in a legal, ethical, and moral way. So back to this idea of moving towards a net worth paradigm, you want to be paying attention to your net worth. So your net worth is basically all your cash and assets minus all your debt. So again, if you have $1,000 in your bank account and you have $25,000 in student loan debt, your net worth is actually negative $24,000, which means you're not broke, you're in debt, and that's actually worse off than being broke because you actually have to work hard to have a net worth of zero to then be broke. You want to have a positive net worth because, again, the more assets you have, the more these are working for you. So again, to calculate your net worth, you can do this by adding all the cash and assets that you own and minusing all your liabilities, your debts, from this total. Now that you have your net worth, you should focus on increasing this number each month. Remember, the more income-producing assets that you own, the less you'll have to work for money so that you can increase your net worth each and every month. The less you have to work for money, the more money's working for you. That means the bigger your net worth is, the more you can have time to focus on. Basically, for me, it's focusing on my purpose. Money gives me the freedom to focus on my purpose and my passions and to do things because I love to do them, not because I got to show up and get paid. So, second last rule of how to never be broke again is make more than you spend and increase your income. Basically, you want to focus on spending less than you earn and growing your income each month. Just because you want to have extra money, extra cash flow, so that you can invest back into yourself. If we go back to the earlier rules, always paying yourself first. You want to pay yourself first and then have the expenses after. But if you're not even making enough to pay for expenses, it's going to be really hard to pay yourself first. That's why it's so important to basically improve your ability. And again, I highlight this, it is a skill, it is an ability to be able to make more money and increase your income. Think about it as a bartender. The better a bartender works, the better their social skills are, the better their sales skills are, the more tips they're going to get. And again, they are actively increasing their income by actively increasing their efficiency, their effectiveness in whatever they're doing, their skills. Improving your skills, essentially, you can improve your income. Again, you don't want to spend more than you make. So, for example, if your annual income is, let's say, I don't know, $109,000 a year, you should never spend more than $109,000 a year because then you would make all this money in a year, spend it all, and it basically went nowhere. You want to make sure that you're creating a foundation to never be broke again. So, regardless of you increasing your income right away or you slowly increasing your income, this is something you should be doing so that you can reach a point where even if you were to lose all your money, you have the financial intelligence and the financial education to make it all back. Again, money is just a tool and it's actually infinite. You can always get more money. You can't get more time. So you want to spend time improving your skills, being able to increase your income, whether that means you going back to school, you attending seminars, whatever it is, you should be focusing on how you can pay yourself more each month. Again, with this, it'll be important to have a budget just so you know how much you're making, how much is being spent. And the mission that you can do for this rule is that what I call the 30-day increase your income challenge. So for the next 30 days, see if you can increase your income each day. So for example, if you made $70 at work on January 1st, January 2nd, you can try and make maybe $71, $72. You got to get creative. Try and review the other rules so that you can make an extra few dollars every day. You can also do this and try increase your income monthly once you pass the 30-day challenge. So again, the rule is, the last one is make more than you spend and increase your income. So last rule of how to never be broke again is know your financial independence number. Basically, again, like I mentioned before, you either don't have enough money or you have too much money. Your financial independence number, or your FIN number, is the amount of net worth that you need to give yourself for 15 years of annual income, if everything in your net worth was cash, or the amount of investments you need in order to basically produce enough passive income to replace your earned income for the rest of your life. Most people have basically never even heard of their financial independence number, or their FIN number, let alone calculated it. Unfortunately, if you fail to plan, you're basically planning to fail. In other words, by not knowing how much net worth or money you need in order to get paid what you get paid now, or by simply staring at a wall if you wanted to. It's one of the funny inside jokes I say to my friends, is that you can have your money work for you so that you get paid staring at a wall. I don't know many people that enjoy staring at a wall. I enjoy teaching, so I'd like it that my money paid me to teach, whether I got paid to teach or not, if I'm volunteering or whatever. Or I also love doing philosophy, so it'd be nice if my money worked for me so that I can do philosophy and help guide the world towards the truth. But that's another story. Anyway, when I was younger, I was told that my number one job was to work myself out of a job so I no longer needed to work, but I would get to work the job that I wanted to. I think it's a privilege for me to be able to teach. I think it's going to be an even greater privilege for me to be able to teach for free one day. So once you become financially independent, you no longer have to work, but you now have the freedom of choice and time to do whatever you want, since your assets work for you and basically provide you the income that you want. So technically, in order to never be broke again, all you need to do is know your financial security number, your financial independence number, which is the amount of net worth you need to have your investments passively pay for your expenses each month forever. However, by knowing your financial independence number, which is not the same as financial security number just covers your monthly expenses. Your financial independence number is a bigger goal. It's a higher goal, because in order to never be broke again, you want to shoot for something higher than your original goal. Your financial independence number basically replaces the income that you make, assuming that you're happy with the income you're making right now. As mentioned, I am licensed in the financial industry, and I do have programs in my online office and even on my phone to calculate an individual's financial independence number, but you can actually just go online and calculate this themselves. There's a lot of resources online. Educate yourselves. Try and be critical of what your financial independence number represents. You really want to know what this number is so you have an end goal and you're moving towards this end goal month to month. So yeah, that's the last rule of how to never be broke again. It's know your financial independence number, so you can work towards your net worth and basically reach financial security first, and then hopefully I hope you reach financial independence. So those were actually 9 out of the 10 rules how to never be broke again. I actually forgot one here on my list, which is, again, I feel kind of dumb, but hey, we're human. We all make mistakes. I'm human. I make mistakes all the time. But it's nice that this will actually be the conclusion, because this chapter of How to Never Be Broke Again is called Knowledge is Power, but Only If You Take Action. So I'm going to use this to sum up all the rules that we looked at. Basically, it's nice that you guys know these rules on how to never be broke again, but if you don't take action, if you don't actually use these things in the real world and actually make changes today and take action, you're not really taking advantage of the power of the knowledge that we kind of shared and explored here together. Basically, that's why in my book, How to Never Be Broke Again, a work of pragmatic capitalist philosophy, the pragmatic part is that at the end of each chapter, I actually give you guys missions on things that you can do right away so that you can help solidify these rules on how to never be broke again. So again, thanks for listening. This is Dasein of Philosophy here. My book titled How to Never Be Broke Again is on Amazon. And if you guys want to check it out, maybe order a physical copy or the ebook Kindle version, that'd be great. You'd be helping support my mission of providing financial education and helping more people never be broke ever again. You can follow me on Twitter at Philo Dasein. So that's at PHILODASEIN. I'm also on Instagram at Dasein the Philosopher. So that's at DASEINTHPHILOSOPHER, Dasein the Philosopher. I'm also on Facebook under Dasein the Philosopher. And again, you can search my book, How to Never Be Broke Again, on Amazon, as well as my first book titled Dasein's Journal, Collection of Philosophical Thought. If you want to see my author page, it's at www.amazon.com/author/Dasein Philosopher. So that's DASEINPHILOSOPHER. It's kind of long. That was a mouthful. But yeah, there it is. So I hope you guys, again, enjoyed all this free content that I'm giving you guys, hoping that you guys can find out, learn, maybe learn from my experiences, find out your own ways on how to apply the 10 rules of how to never be broke again. Have a happy Sunday. It's Patrick Calerio here, aka Dasein the Philosopher. See ya.